said, Lord, don't make me wait. I need it today. I need to know what you want me to speak on today. And so I was a little bit ahead. I've been reading ahead, and it was in 1 Kings chapter 3. It's talking about Solomon taking over his reign. In chapter 3, verse 3, it says that Solomon loved the Lord God all of his days, except that he made sacrifices in the high places. Solomon had an except in his life. In Leviticus, in chapter 17, that exception is that they were using the high places to make sacrifices, but also idol worship. And God said, Israelites, you're pulled away from that. You're no longer going to do that anymore. And so Solomon was still doing it. That was his except. Even though he loved the Lord and God was with him and God granted him wisdom and everything that he needed and gave him great wealth, there was an exception in Solomon's life. If you move on down in Kings to Kings, 1 Kings 5 or 15 chapter or 15 verse 5, it talks about David and how David loved the Lord God with all his heart, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, when he had him killed because he had had a relation with his wife when he was on the battlefield and she conceived a child by an adulterous affair. David had an except in his life. A man that loved God with all of his heart says he was so close that he was a man after God's own heart. And Solomon was the wisest man ever. Both of them still had accepts in their lives. I'm coming to you to tell you today that because of the cross and because of the Holy Spirit left for us, we do not have to have an accept behind our testimony. There is nowhere in the New Testament that a man or woman of God is mentioned that there is an accept in their testimony. We don't have to have an accept. We can be done with anything that has bound us, that has held us, that has kept us from doing the perfect will of God in our lives. I'm here to say to, want to start with Zeke. Zeke, I felt today as I was praying and I saw you, I felt God saying, sky's the limit for you, brother. Sky is the limit. You are the only one that will limit you. God has greatness in store for you, son. You reach out and you run after it for all your worth. God will honor you for that. You be the man. You do it. Pastor Dan, for such a time as this, God has called you and set you apart. He has not set you aside. There is a difference. You have been set apart. Don't miss why he's done this. Search for it. Look for it. There's a guy that I was trying to look him up on the online real quick to find it. And I have a reading that I want to give you. You are not set aside. You're set apart for this time for a reason. Find out what it is, the two of you. Can you receive that? Okay. Don't be discouraged, brother. You keep running the race that you're on. Do not stop. The enemy will set stumbling blocks in front of you, but you make those stumbling blocks into stepping stones and you step up into the destiny God has for your life. Mario, I don't know what's going on with you, brother, but my heart is broken for you today. God has a plan for your life. He did not bring you here by accident. He is here to open his arms to you and say it's okay to run into them and to be whole. In him, you can be whole. For those of us that don't know God, that are sitting underneath the hearing, the cross is the only way to get to him. To recognize what he did for you. Accept what he did for you. Receive what he did for you. In all of those things, you will find wholeness and fullness of joy. For those of us that know him, to receive the Holy Spirit as your guide and your helper and your comforter, it's here for you today. There's a story of a dog, a female dog that was carrying her first litter of puppies. She was laying out in the yard, napping as most expectant mothers do, and was around on the side of a tree, and her owner didn't see her. He was mowing the lawn, and he accidentally mowed over her lower limbs and cut them off. She was bleeding profusely, and they ran her to the vet. And the vet says, "We have two options. Put her down, and you put down the puppies too. Or we could sew her up. She will go full term, and she will have her babies, but she will never have her lower limbs, obviously. But she will adjust." And sure enough, that's what they did. They let the vet sew her up, and they took her home, and they cared for her. And she learned to walk again. And she would pull herself with her front feet, and then she would hop with her backside. Even in that pregnant state, she learned to adapt. Full term comes, and she has these babies. They're perfectly healthy and beautiful. A few weeks later, you see those babies following behind Mama, walking the same way that she walked. They had followed after her. I will tell you this one thing, and I know this with all my heart. If possible, King Solomon could walk in today, and if King David could walk in today, they would forever say, "Do not let there be exceptions of why you serve your Lord and love him with all your heart." No exceptions. If you don't know Jesus and you want to, you feel that burning in your heart, I invite you to come forward. There's people here that would love to pray with you. If any of you have exceptions and you've let that keep you, bind you, hold you back, pull you down, I invite you to come forward. There's a team of people here that would love to pray with you. And if you don't come forward, and you still have an exception in your life, today's the day to can it. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Understand that there's not one person after the cross that has to live with an exception in their life.
You know, Solomon was known as the wisest man to have ever lived. And even in this great wisdom that he had, he knew mysteries that people would come from thousands of miles to hear him speak of these mysteries. He had such amazing wisdom. He knew secrets of heavens almost and things of biology that just blew people away. Because of his humble heart, he received wisdom from God. But I don't care how wise you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how well you think you've got it together and how well your ducks are in a row, because his ducks were in a row. He knew things. He was able to judge rightly during circumstances, and he would allow people to be set free because of his wisdom. Except he had high things in his life. He started off as just some places to worship some idols, because he had a wife who was an Egyptian woman and she wanted to have a place to worship her God. And he says, "Well, that's okay, because you know I won't worship there. I'll just let you do it." And after a while, obviously he started turning his affections to How many of you know you give the devil an inch and he takes a mile? He takes everything he can get. He is not satisfied with a little bit. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He wants to take you out. He is not good. There is no good in him. And because of that little deal in his life, he thought, oh, it's no big deal. I'm serving God. His power's here. I mean, the temple is moving, and the worship is going on, and the cloud is there, and his glory's there. So we just have these little things over here that, you know, they're not going to hurt anything. You fill in the blank, whatever that might be in your life. And what happened is that inroad made it so that he didn't take just one wife. He took like 700 wives. And guess what all those wives did? Worshipped other gods. And guess what Solomon eventually did? Worshipped other gods. To where God was just another god that he worshipped. Even in his marvelous wisdom, God-given divine wisdom, he did stupid things. If you guys haven't noticed, hey, this is about us today, men. For whatever reason, God handpicked us today, and he said, I'm going to deal with the men of this house. We didn't plan it, but the Holy Spirit did. And why does the God of this life right here, my life, your life, want to do this? Because he wants us to be blessed people. He wants us to live full lives. He wants us to be full of all the goodness of God. And he's pointing out our shortcomings. He's pointing out our high places. And my high places are different than yours. But they're just as high in God's eyes. I want to do again, I'm running to your arms. And I know many more men have responded, but this is a time for us as men to say, you know what, God, I'm responding to you. I'm not responding just to Pastor Mike's plea or Pastor Gay's message. I'm responding to you, Lord. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what they may think. I'm after you. And I'm running into your arms because I want these high places out of my life.
Compare. I'm reminded in the Word of how before King David was King David, before he was that man, he was just a boy in the field who played his harp and he worshiped God. And he was young. And so the men, yes, they're called up here, but I want the younger generation to know that just because they're not married or they're not old, that you still are responsible for your relationship with God, and you are still, no matter how young you are, able to have that relationship with Him. And you may not be that king yet, but you are still that boy in that field who's choosing to worship Him, who's choosing to prepare yourself to be that king, to be that man, before He had those exceptions.
I just want to share a message with you. Last week, I took pastor's advice and started an intimate relationship with God. I know how to pray. I know how to worship. I know how to love. I can talk to other men about the word. I've heard about intimate relationship, but I've never tried it. I thought I was there. And I started it that one night. And this whole week has just been incredible for me. I've seen, I've felt, and he even came to my house. It's just been great. So, man, I encourage you, take that step, and your life will change.
Have something to say. I know that you know what's kind of going on with me because I was up here last week, but what you're seeing here today is part of that revelation I had, and God said this was going to happen, that men were going to rise in our church, that we're going to kind of get up here to where we need to be. It's even giving me shivers because it's exactly what he told me was going to happen, that the men in our church were going to rise, that we were going to take authority, we were going to stand in where he wanted us to be in our families, you know. I'm going to sum it up really quick without taking too long, but, you know, growing up, I didn't have my father actually growing up. I had him when I was a little kid, but when I needed him, he wasn't around. He left us. You know, I don't hate him for that. I love him for that, because now that I'm a man, I know that he just made a mistake. And part of me being a man was to be able to forgive him for that, because he was just a man like me, and he made mistakes just like I will or I have. So everybody deserves to be forgiven, everyone. Especially if you made a mistake in your life, you know, you teach your sons to be able to forgive people, because that's what it's all about. Jesus, you know, he laid it on the line for us, so that we all be forgiven. So what I see here is part of the revelation that I had, how we were going to step up, how our church was going to do something. When I was young, and I always remember our family was a big, happy family. I mean, we were a hardworking, you know, farm family. My dad always took us to the fields, and we worked. That was kind of our summer vacation. You know, that was what we did. Hispanic people did that. And I remember that when our dad was with us, it was like he built this fence around us. You know, we could only go so far. He could see what we were doing. He would guide us through our way. Even though, I mean, we had our issues, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 1987. I remember it like it was, like I just woke up this morning and it happened yesterday. It's when my dad, he left us. I don't know why he did. But I've forgiven him for that. But from that day, I remembered what happened. It's like that fence that he built around us, around our home to protect us, the fence was gone. And me and my brothers and my sisters, we scattered. We were like lost sheep. It's like when the sheep herder leaves, the sheep do whatever they want. They go crazy. They do whatever they want. And that's what happened to us without that father figure, without that stone, without that person that God put in our family in charge to keep us together. He was gone. And we started making mistakes, doing everything we wanted to do. My sisters moved out. My oldest one, my brother, kind of did his thing. And there I was. I was right behind him doing my thing, you know. And I can't remember when it was when my dad came back, but, you know, I remember it. He came back to our family not to live with us, but to be a part of our lives. And it was a little late for us because we were all grown up and we saw our family was broken. But he tried. He came back to the place that God told him to be at, as the leader of our home. So when I remember that, it's what God told me. He says, I gave you a family. You need to lead that family. I mean, we make mistakes. Men, we make them every day. And for some reason, you know, I left my responsibility a little behind from the start, from when we had kids, because who raised me was my mom, you know, towards my adulthood, to my, you know, before I became a man. And I noticed that my mom would take care of us, and she'd try to lead the home. So I made the mistake in choosing that, because I didn't know any better. I didn't have that father figure when I needed him the most. When you learn that, you know. So for the first many years of my life, you know, of my family life, then when I had kids, my wife was taking care of the kids. You know, she would oversee them and make the decisions in the family, and I was good with it. I mean, that's the way it works until, you know, we make the decision to go to church and start reading the Bible and praying. And after this revelation all came to me, I realized that I put her in a position that she didn't need to be. It's my position. It's our position as men to lead our family. And that's what God has told me. He says, Zeke, you change your life. You make the decision for yourself and your family, and you're going to see it. That in your church, it will change. I mean, I've never come up here. Rarely do I. He has me up here talking to the men of our church, saying we need to step up and take that burden from our wives because that's our job. He gave it to us. It's important even for us that are men to show our daughters how to be treated by men. You know, our sons to treat their wives like they're supposed to be treated, to take on our responsibilities, you know, to financially take care of them, you know, spiritually. Who's going to lead your home? We are, because God put us in that position. He told me, he says, come up here today because the men are there. This is what I was telling you about. Now get up there and you have to tell them what I'm telling you. Is he put us in a position? We have to take that position. We have to make that decision and love our sons and guide them and guide our daughters to where they need to be in Christ. And how they need to be treated in life. I mean, without us, I go back to that fence. There's no fence there. We need to build that fence. And that's what he told me to say. You know.
Well, how many of you have ever been to a like a buffet? This was a spiritual buffet today. This was like, you know, you get some stuff on your plate and you eat it, and you know, some of it, you know, you can handle right now, and some, you know, you have to wait till you maybe get an appetite for that. So you're gonna go get something else. So I think what God's done is he's kind of give us a smorgasbord today. And the reason being is because he loves us. This was all about love today. This was not about making you feel guilty, making you feel ashamed, making you feel condemned. He's telling us this because he loves us. Oh, if we could understand, if we could comprehend, as that scripture says, the our lack of ability, Lord, that we have right now, God, of really understanding your love, I pray that it would pierce our hearts right now, Lord, that your love would penetrate, God, any confusion, any distractions in our lives right now, Lord. We want to know your love. It's in the natural, it's unfathomable, but God, in you, it's possible. Lord, let us know your love. You love us so much, Lord, that you took time to prepare Zeke's heart a few days ahead to let him know what was going to happen. Lord, you stirred me for 2 days. Something was coming. And Lord, you gave, Pastor Gay, the message that went right along with this about not having exceptions in our life. And Lord, you've allowed the song service to be orchestrated by the Spirit. So Lord, you have showed us your love. Help us to see it, Lord. Help us not to keep questioning and second-guessing you, Lord. Help us just to embrace you. Receive your love anew, afresh. I'm just going to ask all the men just to come up here. So now you don't have to worry about being singled out. But you're just, I want just everyone, all the men, if you're with your kids, then, because, you know, you have to bring them up, then bring them up. And I'm just going to speak a blessing over you as a shepherd of this house. I'm going to speak a blessing over your life, over your family, over your relationships. And how many know that there's power in the spoken blessing? There is. Especially under an anointing like this, when God has established the day. I'm going to say for what Val had to say, for those of you who are on your way to manhood, please come up. There we go. He's on his way, isn't he? It's time for men to stand up in this day. It's time for us to be men of faith first. Then the rest is going to follow. Jesus said so clearly, if you seek me first, my kingdom, my righteousness, everything else is going to be added. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I speak over these men. God, I speak over these lives, Lord, that they would be blessed lives. God, as you say in your word, Lord, that they're going to be blessed as they come to church on Sundays. They're going to be blessed as they go. God, as they stand in their jobs, Lord, they're going to be blessed, God. As they walk in the streets, Lord, they're going to be blessed, God. Lord, they're going to hear your voice. They're going to be led by your Spirit, God. They're going to be drawn to such an intimate, close relationship with you, Lord, that they're going to know how to make right decisions. God, they're going to have the vision that they need for their families, Lord, to lead and guide and direct them, Lord, into the truths that you have for them this day. God, they're going to be spiritual leaders, Lord, that say, this is the way of the Lord. We're going to follow this way. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Lord, you're going to allow these men, God, to be separated unto you. Lord, that they're going to know you like they've never known you before. Lord, their eyes are going to be open. Their ears are going to hear. Lord, when they read the word, God, it's going to jump off the pages to them. They're going to receive revelation, Lord. They're going to receive knowledge of who you are, of your love for them, God, and for their family. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would just break the hold of the enemy off in any of these lives, Lord, that he would no longer have authority, he would no longer have place, that his traps, Lord, would be exposed, that his deception would be exposed, and that the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ will set them free in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that these are going to be anointed men. And Lord, as they carry your anointing to this lost and dying world, Lord, it's going to break yokes. It's going to break chains. It's going to break shackles off of lives. Lord, that they're going to literally be, as you were, bringing liberty to the captives, Lord, declaring freedom, Lord, to those who are oppressed of the devil in Jesus' name. Lord, the eyes of their understanding, let it be enlightened. Let them be able to see, Lord, the hope of the calling in Christ Jesus, as you have done for men, Lord, in these last days, God. And you're showing men all over this world, God, who they are in you, Lord. Let them see their glorious inheritance, that it's not in the by and by, Lord, but it's today, God, that they can walk in authority. They can walk in anointing. They can walk in glory. They can walk in power. Lord, that they can be world changers, God. Lord, that they will not be conformed to this world, Lord, but they will be transformed, God, by the renewing of their mind. Lord, I declare that this generation that's standing here, Lord, will be used by you for your glory. And Lord, we will not love our lives even unto death because we are sold out for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all the men of God said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a clap for what he's done today. What I want to see you do this week is practice running in his arms, not at church, but in your own quiet time. When you're riding to work, when you're just sitting in your chair and you're relaxing, even when you're watching TV, say, Lord, I just want to run in your arms. You may just want to turn the TV off because you're going to experience him. He is drawing us these days. He is causing our hearts to be connected with him. Listen, I know Zeke. I mean, I don't know him as well as his wife, but this man has been transformed. For him to give up his car club, I mean, that was a part of his life that he was so connected to. But God is doing something in his heart just as he's doing it in yours. He's no respecter of persons. If he'll transform Zeke, as hard as it is, it's bringing God's glory to his life and to his family. I love you all. God bless you. If you guys want prayer or if you guys just want to continue, we can let the piano go. If someone wants to share, because I do not want God to end what he's doing right now, because he's doing something sovereign. He's doing something by his Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody that experienced breakthrough today? And no, beyond a shadow of doubt, you've experienced breakthrough. Raise your hand. I have. I thought we were bringing breakthrough, you know, as pastors and leaders, we think we're going to bring breakthrough to the house. I brought breakthrough to myself from seeking God. And you can too for your family. The breakthrough that you've experienced today, you can take to them, to your kids, to your loved ones, your mom and dad. You just be the light of the glorious gospel in this world, and people will be set free. God bless you.